61, we'll read verse 2 together tonight. Found your places, we'll ask you to stand And Job 14 and verse 1, I'm sure you could all quote it. The Bible says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And then Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2, and we read verse 2 together. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Read this verse together. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Thank you, may be seated. Fathers, we come this evening. I don't guess we could pick a verse, Lord, that we could all identify any more with in the Word of God, Lord, than in that verse that I read out of the book of Job. And Lord, as we come to this evening, Lord, to try to minister to the saints, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'll help the Holy Ghost of God to minister to me. And Lord, I pray you put something in my heart and help me preach it out into everybody else's heart.
Bless him, Lord.
And I pray that, Lord, folks might find help this evening at the hand of God. And we do pray. We thank you for already the moving of the Holy Spirit. Already folks knowing where to go for help. We thank you for that. And I pray you to honor, Lord, their humbleness and effort this evening.
Yes, Father.
And we thank you for the music and all those that took part in that. And how it's ministered to us tonight. And Lord, we pray this evening for the lost, and we thank you for the ones that's been saved this month. And Lord, we pray, and we ask tonight, Lord, as you search every heart tonight, if there's one lost tonight, they might be found.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll be careful tonight. Thank you for all your goodness. I thank you for keeping me clean, saving me, forgiving me, Lord, when I asked you. And Lord, the promise that one day you'll be coming for all of us, Lord, as a church.
Yes,
and we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The Bible said that man that is born of a woman is a few days, and he's full of trouble, the Bible says. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. I didn't really realize it until this week when I was trying to study around for tonight. But you know the word problem is not in the Bible. That word problem is not even in the Bible. Of course, there's plenty of words that suggest there is problems.
Yeah.
Words like trouble, afflictions, adversaries. These are all things that all through the Bible it mentions problems. And of course, people had problems in the Bible and all that. And I know all of you got problems.
Amen.
And everybody's got plenty of them. And you don't have to go out looking for trouble. It'll find you. Problems will find you. And we're all aware of that tonight. So I'm not wanting to preach tonight about trouble. I figure everybody's got plenty of that tonight. The Bible said that, you know, in Psalms 90, verse 9, it said we spend our years as a tale that is told.
Amen. Amen.
The days of our years are 80, if for reason of strength they be 80. Yet their strength, labor, and sorrow are soon cut off, we fly away. So the Lord says about 80 years, 80, about 80 years, which would be about 29,000 days. And the Lord said, man that's born of woman is a few days, 29,000 days. That's just a few days to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seemed like a long time to us, but to the Lord, you know, that ain't much. The Bible said that 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. One day is 1,000 years, the Bible said, to the Lord. And so he don't look at time like we look
right.
at time.
Amen.
Amen.
Not at all. Really, our little life down here is just a little speck in eternity.
Yep. Yep.
That God, you know, lets us live down here. Of course, a lot of us won't make it to 80. A lot of people, you go to read the papers, look at obituaries, get checking the ages, you find out that there's a whole lot of people that never make that 80. But if you do, and if you don't, you're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles. The Bible tells us that. But what I'm wanting to preach on tonight, if the Lord will help me, is some places you can get your problems solved. Some places where you can get help tonight when you have trouble. I heard Dr. Jerry Falwell say something one time. I thought it was the best thing I ever heard him say. But he made this statement. He said most Christian saved people, and just people in general, they spend their whole life trying to figure out how to not have no trouble. And he said, the Bible done told you that your days are going to be few and they're going to be full of trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
He said the time would be better spent not to try to figure out how to not have no trouble, to have no problems.
Yeah.
But the time would be better spent figure out where to get them solved at, where to get help at.
Amen.
Where to have them. Amen.
Amen.
And so tonight, over John 4, I want you to turn over there to John 4. And the Bible over there, it talks about a woman there, John 4. And let me just read verse 1 down to the verse I want to get to, which is verse 7. And the Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now here's the verse I want to get to. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, when you read that verse 7, if you all you do is read verse 7, it just says that, you know, this woman came to draw water.
Yeah.
And just from reading that, you wouldn't think the woman had a problem in the world.
Yeah. Right.
Look, you wouldn't think she had any trouble. She's just on her way to a well to get some water.
Right.
Of course, when we get into the chapter here, and we'll find out that she had a whole lot of trouble.
Amen, brother.
You know, a lot of people you look at and you think, man, I wish I had their life. They don't never have no problems. But you don't know.
Yep.
You don't know what's going on in their life. They have all kinds of problems.
Yep. Amen.
But here's a woman that was coming here to this well, and really, we might think she don't have any problem, but she's got the greatest problem that anybody could ever have.
Yes.
For the Bible says, Brother Eddie, that this woman has a sin problem.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's lost.
Amen.
And she's on her way to hell.
Amen. Right.
And on the way to that well there, she has the greatest problem that anybody could ever have, and that's the problem of being lost and having to go one day and spend an eternity in hell.
Amen.
But as we read this chapter here, we find that she found here a problem solving place.
Amen.
It said that the Lord was sitting on the well. Now, the well of salvation is a problem solving place.
Amen.
Isaiah said, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
And my greatest problem that I ever had, ever will have, my greatest problem was solved at the well of salvation.
Amen.
If you're saved tonight, the greatest problem you've ever had, you've done had your greatest problem.
Bless the Lord.
It was how to not go to hell. It was how to be saved.
Yeah.
And it was solved at the well of salvation.
That's right.
But this woman had a sin problem, you know, and all sinners have sin problems.
That's right.
And when we look here in our text tonight, we find that she had a thirst problem.
That's right.
That's why she came to the well.
Amen.
No doubt she is thirsty. I know she's coming to get literal water, physical water, tangible water. But she had a deeper thirst, even greater than the physical thirst that she had.
Right.
Did you know that every sinner tonight has a thirst that cannot be quenched by this word?
Amen.
And you can drink cases and cases of beer, but it won't quench that thirst.
You're right.
You can drink gallons and gallons of water, but it won't quench that thirst. You can do all kinds of things, and that's what man does. Of course, they don't realize they're doing it. They don't realize that they're trying to satisfy that longing. Did you ever get hungry for something, and you might say something like this to your wife or husband? You'd say, I'm hungry for something. I don't know what it is. I'm just hungry for something. That's the way every sinner is tonight. Him and her is hungry for something, and they ain't yet figured out what it is.
Amen.
This woman had a thirst. Her thirst problem got solved.
Amen.
At the well of salvation. Because Jesus began to talk to her about this, and he told her, he said, give me a drink of water. And you know what she said? She said, The well's deep. You don't have nothing to draw with. Jesus said in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again.
That's right.
That's the way what the world gives you is. You'll thirst again. You may think you found what you're thirsting for, but after you've indulged in all of that you can, there'll still be that inner thirst, that inner longing for something that this world can never satisfy again.
Amen.
But at the well of salvation, her thirst problem got solved.
Amen.
You say, how do you know that? I know it because Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give, I will never thirst again. He said that if you get water from my well, you'll never ever thirst again. I've told this before, but it was profound to me when God showed it to me. But I'd hear preachers preach that verse about never thirsting again, and the devil get to tempting me and trying me and getting me all tore up, and he'd say, you ain't saved. Because after you got saved, you wanted stuff, you wanted other things. You still wanted things out there in the world. You're not saved. Boy, that troubled me, worried me. But one day the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and he said, what that's saying, son, he says, is once that you get saved, you'll never thirst for another Savior. You'll never thirst for anyone else, another Messiah. I can honestly tell you tonight that since I met Christ at an altar of prayer at 10 years old, I may have wanted a new car. I may have wanted a new shotgun. I may have wanted a new suit. I may have wanted something else. But I can tell you there's one thing I never have wanted another one out
of.
I've never wanted another Savior. Because Isaiah said, look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. He said, because I'm God and besides me there is no other.
Amen.
I'm glad that her thirst problem got settled.
Right.
Amen.
Hey, she had a man problem.
Right.
You ladies ever had a man problem?
Bless him, Lord.
Every one of you ought to raise your hand if you got one. Amen. She had a man problem. You say, how do you know she had a man problem? Well, look what it says here. It said, the woman said, okay, I want a drink of that water. And Jesus said, go call your husband and come hither. And she answered and said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saith truly. He said, and now you can't read that and not figure out that this woman didn't have a man problem.
That's right.
And I will tell you tonight, there's five or six men in there had a woman problem also. Yes, sir. So this woman, she had a problem. She couldn't find a man to hang on to. She couldn't find a man that would love her. She couldn't find a man that would satisfy her, you know.
Right.
You heard about the lady, never was married, on up in years, and she picked up the paper and was reading in there, and she read about this article they had on this woman, and she'd been married five times, and she told about each husband, and at the end, she told about how she cremated all five of them. And the discouraged old maid put the paper down and said, I'll tell you what, she said, some of us can't even find a man. Others have got husbands to burn. Amen. She had a man problem.
Amen.
I heard about, you heard about this, I'm sure, that the woman that she had married several men too, Brother Eddie. She married a banker, a movie star, a preacher, and a mortician. And they asked her, said, why in the world did you marry so many different kinds of men? She said, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go.
Amen.
So she had a man problem. And she'd come to the Lord. And her problem was she just couldn't find, a man to stay with her, or one, I guess, that she wanted to stay with. But her problem got solved that day at the well of salvation. You say, how do you know it is? Because it says on through the chapter there, she run into the town and she said, come see a man.
Right. Hold me all things.
He said, I found a real man.
Amen.
You see, some women think they find a man because he got big biceps and he's real masculine looking and all of that. But she went in and she saw the Lord. And she went in, Brother Eddie, and she said, come and see a man. You'll see what a real man would look like. I believe she found that day at the well of salvation. I believe she found a man that would never do her wrong.
Amen.
I believe she found a man that would never let her go.
Yeah.
I believe she found a man that would love her in all of her faults, in all of her problems, in everything. She found a man. Every woman needs a man like that.
Right.
Amen. Every woman can have a man like that.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. I like that. She said, come and see a man. I met a lady one time and her husband died, and she was on up in years, a very, very attractive older lady and very nice. And I was talking to her one day, and she said, my husband died, and I never have remarried since my husband died. And she said, I know I have a right to, and I know it could, but said, we had a good long marriage. Said, my husband died, and she said, I just never did get married. I just decided after that he died, she said, I just praying, talking to the Lord, and I just decided that whatever little time I had left, I'd just let the Lord be my husband. I'd just talk to Him. I'd just fellowship with Him. I'd just tell Him all my problems. I think it worked out pretty good for her. She died not too long ago, and she never did remarry, so I guess she's just satisfied with the Lord. Now, you ladies may get dissatisfied with us men, your husbands. You may get dissatisfied with us. But I don't think that you'll ever be able to be saved that I'm dissatisfied with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
None of us can say we're dissatisfied with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad there is a salvation's well. There is a problem-solving place.
Right. That's right, Brother Rick.
How many people in this room tonight? How many people, boy, they had a lot of different issues and problems, but when they got saved,
woo!
That took care of a lot of it.
Yeah, it did.
Amen.
When they got saved, I'd say tonight, if you're lost tonight, and you may have a lot of problems, I'd say this tonight, if you got saved, and you got saved, give your life to the Lord, most of your problems
Amen.
Will be taken care of tonight.
That's right.
Amen. Some help.
Amen.
You got some help, Brother Eddie, that's right. So she had a thirst problem. She had a man problem. And then she had a religion problem.
Right.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Right.
The Lord, you know, He started talking to her. You get on that sin stuff, you know, they tried to change the subject.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to something else. You know how we do. You know how they did. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said that, and the woman said, sir, our fathers worship in the mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what.
That's right.
Now she's got a problem.
That's right.
She's worshiping and she don't even know what she's worshiping.
Right. Amen.
There's a whole lot of people out there.
Amen.
Like that.
Amen. Amen.
You see, what this woman had was she had religion. That was her problem. All she had was religion.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm not kicking any religion tonight. One's as good as another.
Bless Him, Lord.
All you got's religion. All you got's religion. One's as good as another.
Right.
You know, I got a book up here in my office that says there's 1,500 different kinds of Baptists. There's Southern Baptists. There's Independent Baptists. There's Free Will Baptists. There's General Baptist, there's Separate Baptist, there's Northern Baptist, and it's 1,500 different kinds of Baptists. There's Holiday Baptist.
Oh, man.
See what's in them? That's what's going to go on Christmas and Easter.
Amen.
And then there's Buzzard Baptist. You say, what are they? They only go to funerals. All kinds of Baptists. But if all you got is Baptists, it'll send you to hell this quick, the rest of them will.
Right.
I mean, it don't matter if you're Baptist or Catholic or Church of Christ or Pentecostal or Four Square Holiness or Presbyterian. It don't matter what you are. If all you got's religion, one's good as the other. Nothing's sending you to hell this quick, the other will.
Amen.
Right.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
This woman had religion.
Amen.
That's right. But she got her problem solved.
Woo! Glory to God.
She got her religion problem solved
here
at the well of salvation. And you say, how do you know she did? Because after he got to talking to her, and he said, the Father, he said, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And he said, the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Amen.
And then she says this, she says, is not this the Christ?
Right.
Is not this him? Is he not the Savior of the world?
Amen.
When you thank Jesus,
Lord,
your religion problem be over.
That's right, brother Rick. Amen.
Amen. It's not what over the door, it's what's in the heart.
Amen.
That's it.
That's what really counts.
Amen.
Don't get caught up. I don't think some of you are, but don't get caught up into this thing that if you're not independent Baptist, you're not going to heaven. Honey, a lot of them ain't going.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
But the only thing that really counts is if you've been born again,
if
you've been saved, if you've had an experience with the Lord, you believe the gospel and you've been saved,
Amen.
Then you can go to heaven, amen.
That's right.
That's what I believe.
Amen.
Old Dr. B.R. Lakin, he was preaching one time, he found out he was preaching for a Baptist brider. You know what a Baptist brider is? That's people that... that think Baptists make up the bride and ain't nobody else going to heaven but the Baptists. Right. They call them Baptist briders right up around.
Yeah.
Old Dr. Lakin said, well, he said, if it's a Baptist bride, she'd be a slender baby.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. No, it's the body of Christ is made up of saved people.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
All different kinds saved people.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we think because they wasn't born in Kentucky and they wouldn't raise like us, that they're not saved.
Bless him, Lord.
Well, we're like we are because we're born here. Amen.
Right.
But other people born other places, they may not talk like us. When I go up north, they always say I talk funny. We go up there, and you know they'll grin when you go to talk to the cashier. They'll grin, you know, and stuff like that. When they come down here, I grin.
Amen.
But look. Look, it don't matter where you live at, if you're saved, you're one of God's children.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
They might be in the Philippines or China or,
right.
or Russia or somewhere else.
Amen. Maybe,
but if they're saved, I guarantee you this, even though they talk different, even though they may look different,
bless
even Lord. Though their attire may not look like ours, I promise you this, if they're saved and you're saved and you talk to them long enough, there'll be a spirit that will bear witness between you.
Amen.
Amen.
And you'll know they're one of his.
That's Amen. Right.
That's right. So, the well of salvation, that's a good problem-solving place.
Yes, it is, brother.
Amen. I've seen some people get fixed.
Woo! Glory to God.
Life been a mess.
Yeah.
Tried to AA, tried to all these different things, but one day, it's like, you know, the woman that spent all, don't agree worse, but one day they got it to the Lord. They got to the well of salvation. They really got saved.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, their life changed.
That's right.
Amen.
Their problems were solved. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And then, look over in Psalm 73 this evening. Psalm 73. Look at verse 1. The Bible said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. Verse 2, Psalm 73. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's a fellow that sounds like he's got some problems.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe he's a lost man. I don't believe he's a lost sinner. That's not his problem. I believe that he's probably a saved man. Man has faith in God. But the Bible says that he said he come to a place in his life. He said, as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you was about gone and you just hardly couldn't make it no more? That's the way he was.
Right.
But look down in verse, look down, in, if you will, a little farther in the chapter, look at verse 16. And he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
And then I understood therein.
That's right.
There's a fellow that had a problem.
Yes.
But he found a problem solving place. You say, where was it at? It was in the sanctuary of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It was down at the church house.
Yeah.
Amen.
Do you know the church is a problem solving place?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yep.
And a lot of people's got problems. They just ain't found this place.
Amen.
Now, I know there's folks that you've met and I've met, and they said they won't go to the church because there's problems.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes there is problems down at the church. And I found some problems at churches I've helped revivals in. I felt problems in churches I've pastored. I felt problems, Brother Nathan. But for me, the church has always been a problem-solving place.
Amen.
It's a place where that if I could ever get there, Brother Eddie, get serious with God,
yes,
I could find an answer. I could find help from my problem, my troubles. I could find help down there.
Amen.
You know, over the years, I've seen some folks have marital problems.
Mm-hmm. Right. Bless him, Lord.
Right.
And you know what happens? It happens. Most times, if you've been married, most of what I read, since we've been married about, 7, 8, 9 years.
Bless him, Lord.
And the honeymoon's kind of over.
Mm-hmm.
You've been married about 8 or 9 years long in there, then you start having problems usually. You say, why? Well, a lot of reasons. One of the reasons sometimes is because by that time you've incurred a lot of debt, you start having financial problems. Sometimes it's because that you've had a lot of children and you and your husband was like this, but now there's 5 or 6 children in between.
Bless him, Lord.
And so what happens is you begin to neglect each other.
Right.
Bless him, Lord.
Not that you don't love each other, not that you aim for that to happen, but sometimes that just happens. And I've seen a lot of couples, hit that spot and they, sad to say, they divorced, separated, and that was the end of their marriage. And I've seen some more that got down to the house of God.
Yeah.
They realized what was going on.
Yeah.
They thought their marriage was worth fighting for. And they had looked everywhere else. They didn't know anywhere else to leave to go. And so they came to the house of God. And they began to pray. They began to listen.
Bless
they began
Lord.
To study. They began to listen to what God had to say.
Amen.
And they got their problems little by little solved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, most of the problem is sin.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
1 John 1:9 says, if you will confess your sin, God will forgive them. Yes. Amen.
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 And that'll take care of a whole lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get down to the church, see, and that's why the devil don't want you around the church, don't want you around the Bible.
That's right.
Right.
Because
when you get in the Bible, you'll find out what a husband's supposed to do and what a wife's supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll find out that the Bible said a husband's supposed to love his wife.
That's right.
Like Christ loved the church. Now, I doubt if any man has ever been able to do that like Christ loved the church,
right.
But we're supposed to try, the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen.
And then, Brother Eddie, in that same chapter, it says that the wife, that she's supposed to submit herself unto her husband.
Amen.
It's under the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times the problem comes in because the husband's not the head of the house. The wife is running the show and don't work too good.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Rick, we like it this way down in my house. We'll go ahead and do it. I'm just telling you, God has a way.
Right.
God has a plan, and God's plan always works best.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
In order.
Yeah.
When I say the husbands be the head of the house, I don't mean he slapped you around and beat you and commands you around like you're some slave. I don't mean that.
Amen.
I just mean that he's the head of the house. Someone said this, I like it. They said the husband's the head of the home. The wife is the heart of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And the children ought to be the harmony of the home. I think that's a pretty good outline for the home. Amen?
Amen.
But what I'm saying is, I've seen them get in church and they start getting where they need to be with God.
Bless him, Lord.
Husband starts treating his wife like he ought to. And when sometimes the reason women won't obey the Lord, won't obey their husband is because that their husband won't obey the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He said, it says, It says, wives, obey your husbands. Submit yourselves as your husband is unto the Lord.
Amen.
You realize in Bible times they actually called their husbands Lord.
That's right, brother.
Yeah. 1 Peter 3:7.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Somebody said, preacher, your wife ever call you Lord? And I said, yes. She says, Lord, get them clothes up. Lord, take that garbage out. Lord, you're killing me.
Amen, brother.
Now, I'm not saying you women have to go around calling your husband Lord. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that if we'll do right and you'll do right. And then something else, sir. Right over the next chapter, Ephesians 6:1, he said, children, obey your parents.
Yes.
The Lord.
Amen.
It's under the Lord.
Amen.
Now, it didn't say, children, obey one of your parents.
Right.
Did you know that children, they're not dumb.
Amen, brother.
Right.
Amen.
And you know, they'll learn how to side and work y'all against each other.
Right.
Yeah. They'll go back here and they'll say, mama, can I do something? And she'd say, well, yeah, I guess, honey, I guess you can. Daddy's done told him no.
Yeah.
He goes over and he says, mama, can I do this? And she said, yeah, I guess it'd be okay. And then he goes over and he said, Daddy, mama said I could do it. See, they're supposed to work that way.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
We're supposed to work together. We're supposed to raise them together. We're not to work against each other. We're to enforce each other, stand with each other, bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of marriages that it looked like they was going to end up on the rocks, and they come into the sanctuary, they got into the altar, they got right with God, and they got their marriage that looked like it was going to end up on the rocks. They got their marriage on the rocks, and thank God,
woo, Lord.
Amen.
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 That's right, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, if you got a marriage today, you really got something.
Amen.
Yeah.
The way this world's going.
Yeah.
These laws are passing, what they're trying to cram down these kids' throats.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, down at the schoolhouse, and of course I'll be honest and say it this way, where I heard this was is taking place now out in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the nuttiest stadium that we got out there. You don't hear anything going out there.
Yeah.
But usually when it starts out there,
it's
like a cancer. It starts spreading on, coming this way. Amen.
It does.
But I heard they teach your children, your children, my grandchildren.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
If they teach them first grade, stuff like that, they teach them, you know, they got two parents, but they're both daddies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
They got a two-parent home, but one of them's a mommy and the other one's a daddy, but the mommy's a daddy.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Rick.
The daddy's a mom. And the kids are confused.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, how could there be any other thing but confused?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I want to tell you, as your pastor, I want to tell you that you need to tell your grandchildren in the day and hour in which we live, you need to tell your children, you need to set them down, and you need to tell them, you need to drill it in their mind, you need to make sure they know that God said, not the Baptist church, but God said that marriage is a man and a woman. That's what God said, and that's what it ought to be.
Amen.
And anything else is not some other version of a marriage, it's a perversion of a marriage.
Amen. That's good. Preaching,
brother.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
I'm not saying you kids get out of the schoolhouse. And I know you can get in trouble fast down there and stuff like that. I'm just saying make sure that you know.
Amen.
Make sure your children know.
Amen.
What God said.
That's right.
Yeah.
And drill that in their minds.
Yep.
Make sure they get that. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, when I was a kid, you didn't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
That's right. Amen.
Because I never knew nothing like that when I was a kid. I mean, not even one. When I was a kid, I'm sure there were, but I didn't know about it. Amen,
Amen, Brother Rick.
And it just wouldn't have worked too good back then.
That's right.
No.
But the way they do it, you know, they as somebody said, they come out of the closet and try to push us back in.
Yeah, right.
But you better open your mouth while you can.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You better be speaking up while you can right now. And you can right now.
Amen.
You can right now. You can speak up. You have freedom of speech. You have just as much right to say what you believe is right as anyone else does. And we ought to use that while we got it. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right. Amen.
See? I see some marriages, you know, get in there and get right and come out and be great marriages.
That's right.
Amen.
Great marriages. It can happen.
That's right.
Amen. It can happen. I don't have time going into that anymore, but let me say this. I've seen some backsliders. You know, an old backslider, he's got a problem.
Double-minded man.
He's got a bad problem.
Amen.
Because he's away from God and he's out there in the world.
Amen.
Right.
And
there's a lot of them.
Yes. Right.
But you know where a backslider can get his problem solved?
Bless him, Lord.
Down at the sanctuary.
That's right.
Amen.
Down at the house of God. That's where his problem started when he walked out of church.
Amen.
When he left church, that's where his problem started. If you're really saved, if you're not saved, you've got nothing to slide back from.
Amen.
But if you're saved and you go back out into the world, I had somebody tell me one time, said, Well, Brother Rick, that word backslider, it's not even in the New Testament. I said the word may not be, but there's plenty of people that did it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways.
Right.
You say, what's that mean? It means, and this is, I promise you this will be true, every backslider. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, it says.
Yeah.
But a good man is satisfied of himself. And what that means is that a backslider, he wants his own ways.
That's right.
He wants all his ways.
Right.
But when it says a good man, what it says there, it's not the way it sounds. It's saying a good man, he realizes himself's no good. He don't want himself. He don't want. He don't want him. I mean, him makes a good man sick.
Right.
Man.
Amen.
But a backslider, he wants his ways.
Right.
And so one day he says, I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to go. Too much time. And I'm just going to get out of church. And all I want down there is your money anyway. And so I'm going to get out. And I'm going to go back out in the world. So they do it. And then they got real problems.
That's right,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
But the backslider can find help for his sinful, selfish ways.
That's right.
Yeah.
You say, where's that at? Luke 15.
Amen.
Luke 15.
Amen, brother.
You say, well, the church ain't in there. No, but the father is, and his house is recognized there.
Yeah.
And watch this in Luke 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. See, there it is. Give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in woe, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There's a man with some real problems.
That's right, Brother Rick.
He's got no money, he's got no friends, no food.
Amen.
Here's a man with a real problem.
Amen.
Oh, I love verse 17. I never got tired of verse 17, verse 18. I've read it hundreds of times, preached probably hundreds of sermons from it. I'm never tired of it. Every time I read it, it does something to me. It said it when he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough in the spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. I will go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. There's a man that got his problem solved back at the father's house.
That's
right.
You can do it, brother.
Amen.
What kind of problems does a backslider have? So I preach. I know some folks that's out of church. They're not having any problems. You don't know that.
Right.
You don't know that.
Right.
Because you pass them going down the road in a new vehicle, you don't know they ain't got problems.
Right.
Because you've seen them on Facebook or somewhere laughing, you don't know they ain't got no problems.
Amen.
No, sir.
Bless him, Lord.
You can't tell about that. It's kind of stuff.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
Back used to, we had Barnabas and Bailey, was that what it was, circus, and they'd go around through these towns, and there's a big fight, and they'd come in, and everybody was going down there because they had a clown that was so funny, everybody was laughing. They'd go down there and they'd laugh, and they'd see this clown, and the next morning, in a psychiatrist's office across town, there's a fellow sitting in the waiting room. He walked in, he sat down, and he began to tell the psychiatrist he was suicidal. He began to tell him that he was just down in the dumps and depressed all the time. And the psychiatrist pushed away from his desk there, and he said, I tell you what, he said, I'm not going to write you no prescription, but he said, what I want you to do, I want you to buy some tickets and go down to the circus tonight, and I want you to go down there and watch Jobo the Clown. And the man began to cry, and he said, I am Jobo the Clown. You can't tell by looking at somebody what's going on the inside of them.
Amen.
Everybody that's laughing on the outside ain't laughing on the inside.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. But I tell you what, this fellow here, he's sad too. No friends, no food, no money.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glad to see you.
Amen. It's like that boy's away at college, and he wrote his dad. He said, Dad, he said, no mud, no fun, your son. His dad wrote back and said, so sad, too bad, your dad.
Yeah.
Sad. Down and out, but this guy was like that. But boy, it doesn't sound like it's that way when he gets back to Father's house.
Amen.
The father said, he's home, and he said, put new shoes on.
Yeah.
Put an robe on him.
Amen.
He said, kill the fatted calf. He said, let's begin to make merry.
Amen.
Sound like it's going to have a good time.
Hey.
We have a hard time. Some of us here tonight, we have a hard time. But I'll tell you, the Bible doesn't say that our time is hard. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Amen.
And we'll be having a hard time in God's house.
Amen.
Out in the world.
Amen.
See, what does backsliders have? Well, they have selfish problems, sin problems. Mm-hmm. But they can all get took care of.
Yeah.
Down at the Father's house.
That's right.
Amen.
Down at sanctuary.
Amen.
You get your problems solved down there.
Yeah.
That's right, Brother Rick.
I'll tell you something besides sin and selfishness a backslider has trouble with. He has storm problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we all have, you know, storms. But sometimes our storms are just storms that we get caught up in, and it's not always anything we've done. But there is times that our sins, our backslidings, cause God to send a storm into our life.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what Jonah's all about.
That's right.
Amen.
When you read the book of Jonah, the Lord said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach for me. And Jonah, he went the other way.
Yeah.
He run from God and went the other way. Mm-hmm. And whenever we won't do what God wants us to do, we're going to have trouble. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's just as sure as you're sitting there breathing air, if you don't obey God, you're going to have some storms sent into your life if you're a child of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Because the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
That's right.
Amen.
The Lord loved old Jonah, he's one of his.
Amen.
And he got on there heading the wrong way. You know what the Lord did? It says in the Word of God, it says, then the Lord sent out a great wind. Lord sent a great storm.
Amen.
You know the story. They throw Jonah overboard. The fish swallowed him. He takes him down to the bottom of the ocean. But you know where Jonah found his help at?
Yeah.
Jonah said, I will look again.
Oh, yeah.
Toward the holy temple.
Amen.
That's it.
That's how.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, how do you know which way to look? He wasn't talking about Jerusalem. He was talking about that up there.
Amen.
He found help.
Yeah.
He got his problem solved. He got out of that well. And I know some folks, if they just get in the will of God, a lot of their problems would stop.
Amen.
They'd be solved.
Amen,
Brother Rick.
They'd just do what God wanted them to do.
That's right.
Amen. Let me give you another one real quick. Look over in the 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 19. And run down there to about verse 14. 2 Kings 19 and Run down there to about verse 14. I'm talking about problem-solving places. Salvation will solve a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
Getting in the sanctuary, getting back to church, solve a lot of problems. Look down here about verse 14. Let's back up here to verse 8. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Lebanon, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when they heard, said of the Tarka, the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall be delivered into the hand of this king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria hath done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them? Look down verse 14.
Yeah.
Now here's Hezekiah got a letter from the devil. Did you ever get a letter from the devil?
Bless him, Lord.
The devil ever send you an email?
Oh, me.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, here's a man that got a in the Bible that Assyria is, he is a type of the Antichrist in the Bible.
Yeah.
And here's a man that got a letter from the devil, and he had to have some help.
Amen.
Look what he did. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, oh, Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone,
all
the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their land and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Watch verse 20. And then Hezekiah the son of Amoz said to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard.
Amen.
Here's a man that didn't find help not only in the sanctuary and not only in the well of salvation, but Brother Eddie, here's a man that found help in the secret place.
Amen.
He got along with God. He prayed to God. I mean, he had a problem with them Assyrians. They wasn't nobody to mess with.
Right.
Amen.
God took care of that problem.
Yeah, he did.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You say, did you take care of it? Oh, he took care of it.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
He sent one angel.
Yeah.
Didn't even have to call the whole crew. Right.
Bless him, Lord.
Right.
Didn't even have to mount up all the armies of heaven.
Bless him, Lord.
He just told one angel. I mean, this guy that's bad news down on earth. I mean, this guy that everybody's shaking in their boots when they hear he's coming their way.
Yeah.
Old Hezekiah got down there praying and bringing his problem before God. And God just called one of the angels over there.
Bless him, Lord.
God said, go down there and take care of that old boy's problem.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. One angel went down there and smote 185,000 people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You talk about a problem solving God.
Amen.
Amen.
You talk about a God that nothing's too hard for the Lord.
Amen.
You see, there's help and problems can be solved. And I'm going to say this tonight, at least for my own life, that I think more of my problems have been solved in the secret place than just about any other place I know of. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about problems. That most of them have been solved in the secret place.
Amen.
And I believe that if we'd take our problems to the Lord and lay them out before the Lord, like Hezekiah did, turn them over to the Lord, he'd take care of a lot of them.
Right. Amen.
You're right.
Prayer is a problem solving place.
Call upon the day of trouble.
About done here, but you say why? Well, Jesus said, when thou prayest.
Yeah.
And right there, you can underline that right there. is where a lot of problems come from.
Yeah.
He said, when thou prayest and thou don't.
Yes.
Amen, right. Brother Rick.
Right.
Amen.
He said, when thou prayest, enter into the closet when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Now, watch this. Here's why there's problems can be solved in the prayer closet, in the secret place. Because there's a partnership there.
That's right.
He said, pray to thy Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God's your Father.
Amen.
That's right.
God's your Father.
Yes.
Right.
When my boys were little, they'd have their little favorite toys and stuff, you know, they played with stuff. I guess because they played with them so much, you know, every now and then they'd break one.
Bless.
And they'd bring it over to me. They'd say, Daddy.
Bless him.
Can you fix this?
Bless him, Lord.
I said, yeah, I'll fix it, Lord.
Bless you, brother.
I'd get some glue, some wire. I'd fix it somehow or another. I'd get it fixed. They thought I'd fix anything.
Bless him.
I got to be older.
Bless him, Lord.
I found myself. Eddie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Father, can you fix it?
Yep.
Bless you, Brother Rick. God bless you, brother. Amen.
I can't fix it, Father. Can you fix it?
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Woo!
There's my Father.
Amen.
Up there, he can fix anything.
Does all, my boy.
Amen.
Yep.
We got a partnership. Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right. One call.
And there's power there, you know. Power.
Amen.
Psalm 62:11, God said, David said, once have I heard this say twice, power belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, I found out living down here in this world,
bless him, Lord.
If you know some folks, got some friends, the Bible says make friends of the mammon, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come in handy, you know. You know somebody in high places, know somebody out the courthouse, or somebody down at the police station, you know, you got some friends or something. You find yourself in trouble. There has been a few times, I don't know that many people in power, but there's been a few times that I've known some. God's given me favor with them. Mm-hmm. And I called them and I said, yeah, I got this problem. I hate to bother you with it. I've got this problem. And I need some help.
Bless him, Lord.
They'd pick up the phone, make one call, say about two or three words. Mm-hmm. Problems took care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been some times.
Bless him, Lord.
But I know somebody in a high place.
Oh, boy. Amen.
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 I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I got this problem.
That's right.
I hate to bother with it. My fault.
Let
you take care of it.
Amen.
Yep.
And the Lord, speak the word.
That's right.
That's right. Yes.
Lord commanded it be done, and it was done.
Amen.
Lord took care of my problem. Amen.
Bless you, Brother Rick. Amen.
I got a promise. Mark 11:24. I love this verse. It's hard to grasp. It's so big. But Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's a big verse. That's a mouthful.
Amen.
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 Now, I'm sure that verse must be coupled and hooked with all the other verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
That say what I pray and ask for and desire must be in the will of God.
That's right.
Right.
But listen, in the will of God, where the best life is for me anyway.
Amen. That's right.
Isn't that where, me as a Christian, the best place for me to be is,
that's right,
is in the will of God.
That's right.
Amen.
He knows what we have need of.
You say, what are you saying? I'm just saying I live in a world where my days are few and they're full of trouble.
Brother.
Right.
I just thank God that I found some problem-solving places.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Found some oils.
I'm glad at the will of salvation I got my main problem.
Woo!
And I'm glad down at the church house. I love God's church.
Amen.
It's not what it ought to be. I'm ashamed of a lot of things we've become, but it's still the church.
Yeah, brother. Amen.
And I got a lot of help down there.
Amen, brother. Same here.
Matter of fact, I can honestly say for the last 35 years, every need I've had and every problem I had, God has solved it through the church.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe that's the way the Lord works.
Yeah.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And then thank God for that prayer closet.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you tonight. I know a lot of us, all of us, not a single one of us here don't have some kind of problem going on even tonight, probably. And Lord, as we pray this evening, we thank you for this message you put upon my heart there. Just seemed to come straight out of heaven to me the other day.
Thank you, Lord.
And just seemed to take on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it, so I delivered it tonight, Lord, to the folks. And I know all of them that's saved, I know they all have been to these three problem-solving places, and I just wanted to stir their minds. I guess you wanted to stir their minds by way of remembrance that they do have some places to go when the troubles and problems come, and they do work. And Lord, tonight, maybe someone here tonight, Lord, maybe they're here tonight and they got that worst problem that a human being ever had. That's that lost problem. It's that hated problem. It's that sin debt problem.
Bless you, Lord.
And it can be solved right here tonight,
Lord,
at the well of salvation. And I pray you might speak to their heart if they're lost tonight. They'd come. Help the rest of us, Lord, to take heed of the other things you've shown tonight in the Word of God. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight if you would, please. If you need to pray, you come. That's a problem solving place right there.
The message tonight.
A dirty problem solving place.
Lord,
we're coming down to our nation.
Appreciate, Lord, speaking to their heart. I thank others, Lord, that spoken to in their seat. But help us, Lord, most of all tonight to remember that, yes, we're in a world full of trouble, but there is some places around to get some things solved.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, tonight. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Word on anyone's heart tonight for the Lord. Go ahead.
Rick, I'd like to thank Lord Bill be here tonight, hear this great message and know the truth of it. I don't know how many times God's helped me, but I'd like to comment on two of them real quick. I remember one time I was $300 short making our bills. Nobody home but me. Went down the basement. I got me a little secret place back there, just a little cellar. I went there and I bowed on my knee and cried to God. I said, Lord, you told me to come to you when I have a need. I said, Lord, I need $300 and I need it today. And I just started praying and the phone started ringing. And it really bothered me because I just got started praying. I was determined I wasn't going to quit praying. I was just going to keep praying. I was going to let the phone ring. It wouldn't quit ringing. And I got in the flesh a little bit, and I said, Lord, I'll be right back. And I real hatefully answered that phone and said, hello. Mm-hmm. Got on there that phone and said, hey, this is Dale. He said, I got $300. Can you get me some flint today? And, of course, being about that tall right then, I remember just saying, okay, and hung the phone up. And I went down, and I said, Lord, I wasn't expecting to answer that quick. I said, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and help me find $300 with the flint, and he did. I remember another time I was on the back porch and I didn't know I had my cell phone on. And I was praying on the back porch. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble again. I said, I wish you'd put me on somebody's heart. And as soon as I said that, my phone rang. And I had enough sense this time I answered it. And I said, hello. And the guy said, what's going on? I said, well, I don't know what you mean. He said, well, the Lord just put you on my heart. What's going on? I tell you what, buddy. I done TP'd, done tried and proved. I know where to go when I'm in trouble. Yes, the message is not very true. If we could just learn to run to Him, not let it get out of hand. Yeah. Run quickly, and He can help. I appreciate the preaching tonight.
That's good. Amen. All right, yes.
First of all, I
want to
thank the Lord for what He's done for me, and thank you for the message tonight.
Amen.
I need it. I just want everybody to thank you. Let's pray for Mama this week. She's had a good week.
Good. Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? For testimony tonight. Anybody else? All right. I trust you've obeyed the Lord tonight. I'm sure I don't want you to leave something on your heart. You won't be happy going home. But if ever a heart's free and clear tonight, we thank you for coming. Won't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? And I hope you'll be with us Wednesday if it's going to come on Wednesday night. The Lord bless you.
And the Lord, He don't bail them.